How do you handle rejection? Well, for most of us, probably not all that well. But the fact is, every one of us, at some time or another, on some level or another, experience rejection. Maybe it's taken form in your life in the fact that you deal with a very unappreciative or perhaps even cruel spouse. Maybe it's a harsh parent who seems to have never learned how to love. Or maybe your boyfriend tossed you to the curb in favor of a different beauty queen last week. Whatever form it takes, it is serious business. In fact, in a way, I hesitate to even talk about this, lest someone misunderstand and think that I might be minimizing the seriousness of the hurt of rejection or even the emotional scars that can result from it. The pain of rejection is something that some people carry with them a long, long time. Some people suffer silently. Some go to awful extremes in response to it. But the fact is that life is real, and for both young and old, rejection is not a matter of if, but when. And so here are a few things that I hope will help us to handle rejection. Now, I'm not going to really make a lot of distinction between the different types of rejection or rejection from the different sources. Whether it's rejection of affection or rejection in the workplace or rejection of an idea, whatever it is, whatever form it takes, we can deal with it in a similar way. And that acknowledges the fact that some rejection is minor. Some of it is the kind of stuff that you ought to not let bother you. Shake it off, move on, don't worry about it. But then some of it is really serious. And so, consider this. Number one, no one has been rejected more than Jesus. Now, that's probably not what you thought I was going to say. Generations before his birth, in prophecy, Jesus was pronounced a reject. Have you ever thought about that? In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, the prophet said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Whatever level your rejection is on that you have experienced, know this. You're not dealing with something that Jesus doesn't know how you feel. Tempted in all points like as we, and yet without sin. A high priest who cannot be untouched by our infirmities. He was rejected by his nation. John chapter 1 verse 11. He came into his own, and they that were his own received him not. He was hunted down, or hunted, not hunted down, but as soon as he was born, the ruler of the region made every effort to kill him as an infant and killed numbers of other babies in the quest of trying to kill Jesus as a baby. On one occasion, he went back to his hometown. And here's the reception that he got in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 55. And coming into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And they said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many wonderful works there because of their unbelief. Have you ever been back home where you grew up? Is that the kind of reception you got? In John chapter 7, verse 5, John records this statement, "For even his brethren," and that means his physical brothers, "for even his brethren did not believe on him." Judas sold him out, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter denied that he knew him with an oath. The other disciples on that night fled, deserting him, leaving him alone. No one has been rejected as much as Jesus. Number two, Jesus never rejects. Jesus never rejects. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees who had rejected him, said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Jesus won't turn you away if you'll come to him. He won't turn you away. He won't reject you. You can leave. You can turn your back on him. You can go away. But Jesus will not reject you. I hope you noticed the common thread in all of those songs that we sang a few minutes ago. "Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Hand in hand with Jesus. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee. Not a step will I take without Jesus." You know what the antidote for rejection is? The antidote for rejection is faith in the Lord. Because no matter what that rejection is, and no matter where it comes from, no matter what level it's on, the medicine that helps you deal with it is a faith and a trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The one who said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." John 16, verse 33. I'm not talking about just mental assent, a mental agreement that yes, He is the Son of God. When I say faith, I'm talking about trust. I'm talking about confidence in Him to never leave us or forsake us, to do as He has promised. Trusting Him never to reject us. Number three, I'd like to give you some important insights into rejection. Number one, I know this is getting confusing. Number one. There is an important distinction between rejection and selection. Don't get them confused. Sometimes not being selected is not the same thing as being rejected. For example, when God sent the prophet to anoint the next king of Israel during the latter part of the reign of King Saul, he went to the house of Jesse and he saw that eldest son who appeared to be the most royal-looking young man he'd ever seen. And God said, no, not him. And some translations even use the word rejected, but actually God was saying, he's not the one I've selected. There is a distinction between selection and rejection. Don't get confused over that. Because sometimes not being selected just simply means it's not your turn right now. Sometimes not being selected may mean you're not quite ready yet. Or maybe it's telling you you need to wait, or perhaps you need to grow. Or maybe you need to fix some things. Number two, sometimes rejection may be part of God's plan to humble us. King Saul was a good example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 15 in verse 23. When God through the prophet said, because thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Saul was in a position where he really needed to be humbled. And you could argue about whether or not it really had any effect on him. But the fact is, God rejected him from being king because, well, let's just put it in everyday language, he was too big for his britches. He was obsessed with himself and what he wanted, regardless of what God wanted. And so, oh, we brought back those oxen to offer as sacrifices to God, and we brought back the king, oh, King Agag, yeah, well, hey, good trophy. Sometimes rejection may be good for us. It may be what we really need. Number three, it's also important to remember that rejection, especially human rejection, should never be allowed to turn into resignation. Rejection should not be allowed to give us an incorrect concept of what is supposed to be. In other words, it may just be temporary. Don't become so discouraged that you give up and quit. Rejection is not resignation. Now, point number four. How to handle it when you experience rejection. Number one, here's your response. Make sure you're right with God. Use it as a wake-up call. Let it remind you that maybe this is a good time to take a look at myself, because a clean heart and forgiven sin makes all things easier to deal with. It helps us see more clearly the things that we need to do better, the changes that we might need to make. Make sure you're right with God. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not, and maybe it doesn't really have anything to do with the fact that you've experienced rejection, or maybe you just aren't seeing it clearly. Make sure you're right with God. Number two, develop wholesome relationships that will help you grow. Often rejection, especially by friends or acquaintances, might need to be understood as a message that they're not the best for me anyway. They may not be the kind of folks I need to hang around with anyway. It may be that they're causing me more harm than good. Perhaps they are a stumbling block in my spiritual life. Maybe they're the kind of people who are going to, in the end, cause me more trouble. Be open-minded toward that message that may be in the rejection. Number three, alter whatever it is about yourself that needs changing when you're rejected. When someone rejects you, if it's because of a problem with you, fix the problem. Do your best. To change what needs changing. Number four, accept what you can't change. Learn to live with it. Learn to deal with it. Learn to use it. Knowing that if you stick with Him, God will stick with you. Again, I would go back to the second point that we observed, and that is the fact that Jesus does not reject us. I want to close by telling you that there is a curious note in the margin of my Bible. At Genesis chapter 29, verse 35. That verse, Genesis 29, verse 35, says this, "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.' Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing." I've got written down here in my margin this little note: Leah's only bright spot. Can you think of any other character in the Bible, other than our Lord Himself, perhaps? Any other character besides Leah who felt more deeply the sting of rejection? Jacob, you remember, worked 7 years for Leah's father, Laban, with the understanding that he would, at the end of that 7 years, receive Rachel, whom the Bible describes as very beautiful. It describes Rachel's beauty in such a way that it calls attention to the unspoken fact that Leah, well, she was ugly. She was ugly. And you remember how the story went, that after working those 7 years, Jacob took his bride into the marriage bed that night, and the next morning when they got up, he discovered that he had been given the ugly sister. Now, you ladies, all of you ladies are beautiful, by the way, but you ladies can relate to how Leah must have felt. The morning after her wedding, as she was getting out of bed, listening to her new husband screaming at his father-in-law because of the deception that had taken place. And then perhaps overhearing that gentleman's agreement that if he would work 7 more years, he would get the wife that he wanted, Rachel, who was beautiful. And the ease with which her new husband agreed to that arrangement to dedicate 7 more years of his life in order to get her sister as the wife that he had always wanted. And it's not as though the Bible kind of hands off the situation from there on out, because at least two times in the narrative describing the woes of Rachel in not being able to bear children, it uses the word hated to describe how Jacob felt about Leah. I understand the word doesn't mean hatred like we understand hatred. It means he loved her much less. He cared for her not even a little bit compared to the way that he cared for Rachel. But still, and I'm sure you ladies could enlighten us old hard-hearted men into some of the delicacies of those emotional wranglings that had to be alive every day in Leah's heart. You know the worst thing about this story? It pretty much ends just like that. Except for that one verse that I pointed out to you a few minutes ago. The verse which says, she bore a son, and she rejoiced in the Lord, therefore she called his name Judah. Judah. Rachel was the, Leah was the mother of the one through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And you know, as best I can tell in reading the story, that's the only bright spot I can find in her life, comparatively speaking. I believe Leah lived a life daily of dealing with the fact that she was rejected from her wedding night. But she was the mother of Judah, without whom the Messiah would not have come. Rejection, it's hard to figure out, hard to understand. How does it fit in God's plan? We don't always know. But we know that if we serve God, He'll never reject us. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.